Today on From His Heart, we'll ask and answer this important question. Is true happiness really possible? Spoiler alert, yes. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
So many people are not happy. They have everything that we think we need to be happy, and they're so unhappy. Could it be because they are looking for happiness in all the wrong places? You know, we just kind of go through life and we're just thinking, well, something else is going to make me happy because I'm not very happy right now. Sometimes we can wonder, I mean, is true happiness really even possible?
He can heal every scar.
Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, where we're going to learn the truth about finding long-lasting, true happiness. Is it really possible? No doubt. But you have to be wise to discover how to appropriate that happiness into your life. Now, this lesson is from Pastor Jeff's powerful series, Life's Big Questions. And other messages in this series include, Does God really exist? Why am I here? Why should I believe the Bible? How could a good God allow so much suffering? And what lies beyond the grave? All important questions for us to know the answer to. And you can find out more about this series online when you go to fromhisheart.org. And what you'll find out is that it is our special gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount this month. That, along with a brand new booklet from Pastor Jeff called The ABCs of the Christian Life. You can find out more when you go online to fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin to answer the question, is true happiness really possible?
Nobody wants to go through life unhappy. Everybody under the sound of my voice, we would say, you know, that's what we want in life. We want to be happy in life. I mean, from the time you're little and you hear stories that you are introduced to the phrase, and they lived happily ever after. You say, that's right. That's what I want. And, in our preamble to the Constitution, we have the pursuit of happiness, and we have happiness put in there. And we're like, yeah, happiness, that's what we want. But so many people are not happy. As a matter of fact, many, many, many people are unhappy, very unhappy. Single people are unhappy. They want to be married. Married people are unhappy. They want to be single. If somebody said, what is marriage? It's like a window pane. You had flies on the inside wanting to get out and flies on the outside wanting to get in. And, you know, we just kind of go through life and we're just thinking, well, something else is going to make me happy because I'm not very happy right now. Sometimes we can wonder, I mean, is true happiness really even possible? Is it possible to live happily ever after? I was listening to an interview this morning, Pat O'Brien. He was talking about celebrities. And he said, of all the celebrities I know, he said, there aren't more than 10 who are really happy. They have everything that we think we need to be happy, and they're so unhappy. Many, many people are unhappy. Why is that? Could it be because they are looking for happiness in all the wrong places? I think so. We're in a series called Life's Big Questions, and today we want to talk about the question of happiness. Is true happiness really possible? And we're going to look at the person, King Solomon, who was an unhappy camper. Unhappy camper. I like what Jim Gaffigan says about camping. He doesn't like camping. He said, you know, camping must be pretty bad because we always talk about unhappy campers. We never talk about happy campers. There aren't any happy campers. He said, you want to know who's happy? The guy leaving the campsite. He's happy. But King Solomon, we would call him an unhappy camper. And the reason he was unhappy is in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a strange book. It's one of the wisdom books. You know, that's the way the Bible is divided up. You got history, and then you run into wisdom, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And Solomon, the king in Israel, the son of David, who was king in the 10th century BC, he wrote Proverbs, most of them. He wrote Song of Solomon, and he wrote Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is one of those books where people are like, I don't understand why that's in the Bible. It just seems so dismal and depressing. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And people would say, well, that shouldn't be in there. But it should, and God put it in there because Solomon is going to be the poster child, the one that goes on an expedition, and his expedition is this: I am going to try and find true happiness. But here's how I'm going to find it. I'm going to try and find it under the sun. That phrase under the sun in the New American Standard Bible is used 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. What does that mean, under the sun? Solomon says, I'm going to keep God out. I'm going to keep heaven out. I'm just going to look at everything that you can do in life and see where is the source of satisfaction. Where is happiness to be found? And we're going to find, as we go on the search with Solomon, that he was looking for happiness in all the wrong places. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and a lot of these verses today, I'm going to use the easy-to-read version because I like the way it puts it. But Solomon gives us his executive summary right in chapter 1. And he says this: I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I decided to study and to use my wisdom to learn about everything that is done in this life. I learned that it is a very hard thing that God has given us to do. I looked at everything done on earth, and I saw that it is all a waste of time. It is like trying to catch the wind. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Trying to find happiness, didn't find it under the sun. So here's the question. Well, Solomon, where'd you look? Where'd you look to find happiness? Because maybe I've found it in a place you didn't find it. Maybe I'm going to look in a place where you didn't look. Now, remember this: when God sends Solomon on a search for happiness, Solomon is much smarter than you are. He's much smarter than I am. He's really probably the smartest guy who ever lived outside of mortal man. Obviously, Jesus is not included, but Solomon, God had blessed Solomon with wisdom and discernment and breadth of mind. The scripture says, like the sand of the seashore. And Solomon had resources that you and I don't have. So when Solomon searches out something, he searches it out from top to bottom. He searches it out completely to see, is there happiness here? Can I find the source of happiness here? And he looks in six areas where people are looking today, in these same six areas. He lived 3,000 years ago, and yet people today are still doing what he did and ending up empty, just like he ended up. So let's look at these areas. Area number one is the area of wisdom and knowledge. And Solomon concluded that true happiness is not found in wisdom and in knowledge and in learning and in education. He says in Ecclesiastes 1, 17 and 18, I decided to learn how wisdom and knowledge are better than thinking foolish thoughts. But I learned that trying to become wise is like trying to catch the wind. With much wisdom comes frustration. The one who gains more wisdom also gains more sorrow. Now, Solomon put his mind to the books. He began to study and study and study and learn and learn and learn. And he said, it's like trying to chase the wind. It's pointless. It's meaningless. I mean, he knew so much about so many things. If you could sit down with Solomon, if I could sit down with Solomon, I don't care what your field of expertise is, he'd be able to talk to you about it and talk intelligently about it because he knew so many things about so many subjects. He knew about chemistry and he knew about biology. He knew about botany. He knew about philosophy. He knew all these things. And he said, that's not making me happy. That's not the source of happiness, knowing things, learning and education. Now, I think it's good to educate yourself. I think it's good to learn. I think it's good to have an understanding of things, but that's not going to make you happy. As a matter of fact, he says in the New American Standard Bible, in much wisdom, there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Did you know in America, we know more now than we've ever known? I mean, we're in a technological explosion, and knowledge is increasing so fast, and it's hard to keep up. Man, when I was graduating from high school, I mean, we were just starting in with the computers in 1980. And now, I mean, everybody's got a computer in your pocket, in your smartphone. I used to watch Star Trek, the original series, with Kirk and Spock and McCoy. And I thought, man, how cool if you had a communicator like Captain Kirk had. How cool if you could be in the bridge and go ship to ship and see the person's face. And we do that today. Just like was depicted in Star Trek in the 60s, that is commonplace today. And we know so much, and so many people are so unhappy. More unhappy than ever before. We have more people than ever before taking antidepressants. Why? Because they're so happy? No, because they're so unhappy. True happiness is not found in wisdom and knowledge. So Solomon said, well, okay, well, let me switch gears. I'm going to go in a totally opposite direction. I've been hitting the book so hard. Now I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to quit learning, and I'm going to start laughing. And he said, I'm going to look for happiness in fun and games, in laughter and frivolity. But he found out that true happiness is not found in fun and games. So it's not found in wisdom and in knowledge and in education. It's also not found, number two, in fun and games. And that's what he says in Ecclesiastes 2, beginning in verse 1. He said, I said to myself, I should have fun. I should enjoy everything as much as I can, but I learned that this is also useless. It is foolish to laugh all the time. Having fun does not do any good. Now, I think having fun is important. Hey, it's very important that the families have fun together. And it's important for dads to bring the fun. Even if they're not naturally very fun, they need to somehow learn how to make the house fun. And if the wife is more fun than the husband, then he needs to really employ her help in making it fun. But home needs to be fun, and we need to have fun in life. But fun and laughter and games, that's not the source of happiness. And if you seek after that, you know, it's one comedy movie after another, one comedy after show after another, trying to find the source of happiness. You're not going to find it in there because it doesn't exist there. Solomon tried that, and he said, That's not where it's at. You're not going to find it. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 14:13, written by Solomon, even in laughter, the heart may be in pain and the end of joy may be grief. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain and the end of joy may be grief. Perhaps you heard the story, Billy Graham used to tell it, about a man who was just so down and discouraged and miserable. And he goes to the psychiatrist and he says, can you help me? I need help. I am so down and I am so depressed and I am so miserable in life and I'm so lethargic. And the doctor examined him and he said, well, sir, there's nothing physically wrong with you. But he said, you obviously have a heavy heart. He said, I have a prescription for you. He said, the circus is in town. And he said, I went last night and it's great. He said, there's a man at the circus, a clown at the circus. He's hilarious. He's the funniest guy I've ever seen. He said, you go to the circus tonight, you listen to that clown and he'll be the cure for your heavy heart. And the man looked at him and he said, you don't understand. I am that clown. Even in laughter, the heart may be in pain and the end of joy may be grief. We were all shocked and saddened when Robin Williams took his own life. He was so funny, yet he took his own life. Back in the 70s, there was a rising star of a comedian named Freddie Prinze Sr. He took his own life. We laughed at him on TV, and he was dying inside. Other big funny guys, John Belushi, he didn't take his own life, but he kind of did. With drugs and alcohol. Chris Farley followed his footsteps, and did basically the same thing. Hey, true happiness is not found in fun and games and in laughter and frivolity. So then Solomon said, all right, I haven't found it in wisdom and in learning. I haven't found it in laughter and fun and games. So now I'm going to try a third area. And the third area, drugs and alcohol. Maybe I can find satisfaction and happiness in drugs and alcohol. But he found out that true happiness is not found in drugs and alcohol. He says in Ecclesiastes 2:3, So I decided to fill my body with wine while I filled my mind with wisdom. I tried this foolishness because I wanted to find a way to be happy. He's looking for happiness. Maybe I can find happiness in a bottle. Maybe I can find it in a pill. Maybe there's something external that I can bring inside of me that will make me happy. But he didn't find happiness in drugs and alcohol. He didn't find happiness in any stimulant. And as it relates to wine, he was the one who said in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Don't do that. Don't go there with wine. Don't go there with strong drink. Don't go there with drugs, because you're not going to find happiness there. And as we know, if you go down that road of alcohol and drugs, what you find is instant heaven that leads to everlasting hell. It will wreck and ruin your life. I tell people all the time, I've had some people challenge me on this and say, well, you know, Jeff, I don't understand why you tell people that not to drink, because Jesus obviously drank. He turned water into wine. And I don't want to get into that with them as much as just to say, look at it this way. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Scripture says, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. At last, it goes down like a serpent and it stings like a viper. I think the Bible is saying, hey, you know, wine was just a word used in the Bible, kind of like drink. Drink, as we use that today. Drink could be alcoholic or it could be iced tea. It's just a drink. Well, they had wine. That's what they drank, was wine. Sometimes it was alcoholic, sometimes it wasn't. And I think the scripture is saying, hey, when it starts to sparkle in the cup, when it's fermented, stay away from that. Why? Because your mind will see strange things. You'll start to see perverse things. You'll get drunk. And that's not a good thing. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. I look at alcohol this way. What's the upside if I drink? What's the downside if I drink? The downside is huge, huge. I've talked to people who've wrecked and ruined their life with drugs and alcohol especially. And they say, well, you know, I just started drinking and then I couldn't stop. F. Scott Fitzgerald was the one who said this. First you take a drink, then the drink takes a drink, then the drink takes you. I had a friend of mine one time years ago. His name was Vic. He wanted to go out to breakfast. We went out to breakfast. He said, I really need to talk to you. He was in my Sunday school class. And he said to me, he's in his 20s. He said to me, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, I'm an alcoholic. And he said, that stuff is ruining my life. And I wish I had never been introduced to it. And I've never forgotten that. I think it is so much wiser for people to say, that stuff is bad news. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm just going to leave that alone. You know who never becomes an alcoholic? Those who never start drinking. You know who never has a drug problem? Those who never take drugs. You know who never gets addicted to cigarettes? Those who never start smoking. The people that don't have trouble with gambling, those who never start. You just don't open the door in those areas, because on the other side of that door is a 500-pound gorilla that can get on your back. True happiness is not found in drugs and alcohol. Most of us know that, but many of us struggle with that. Number four, true happiness is not found in money and possessions. Solomon learned that. Now, Solomon had more money than anyone has ever had. We talk about the people today, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and some of these guys. I mean, Bill Gates has so much money. Listen, compared to King Solomon, Bill Gates was a street beggar. Solomon had anything and everything. It was phenomenal, all the riches that King Solomon had. When the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon's kingdom and to hear from Solomon, she said, man, I heard these stories about you and I thought, no way. And then I come and hear you and I come and see your kingdom, and not the half was told to me. Your greatness exceeds even the stories I heard, which I thought they were embellished. Solomon had so much. He says in verse 8 of chapter 2, I also collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. He had so much silver. The Bible says that during the reign of Solomon, silver was as common as stones. They didn't really think silver was very valuable during the reign of Solomon. Why? Because gold was it. And Solomon, he covered everything in gold when he made his the temple of God, when he made his palace. It's just gold, 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 gold. He would bring in 666 talents of gold every year, the scripture says. He was so rich. And most of us think, that's what will make me happy. I think there are lots of people in this room today, lots of people watching on television, listening, that they say, you know, I think the problems in my life, they would be solved if I just had more money. So many people think that. Man, if I just had more money, then I would be happy. Then I would be satisfied. Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money, Solomon says, will not be satisfied with money. It's impossible because money can't do it. Money is like salt water. You're thirsty and you can't drink salt water because salt water can't quench your thirst. Money is like that. That's why Pat O'Brien said that he knows very few celebrities, very wealthy people who are happy. Why? Because they think that their celebrity status, all that stuff is supposed to make them happy. All their money is supposed to make them happy. And it doesn't because it can't. And it's like drinking salt water and it won't do the job. Money can't do it. And so many people, they long for it, they scheme for it, they dream for it, they sell their souls for money. And then what happens? As Ted Turner, billionaire Ted Turner said, money is like a paper bag. Everybody wants the paper bag. And when you finally get the paper bag, you open it up and find out it's empty. It's empty. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. And Solomon, who had more money than anyone, he said, hey, that's not the source of satisfaction.
Well then, what is the source of real happiness? We're discovering that in this lesson from Pastor Jeff today on From His Heart called, Is True Happiness Really Possible? And as we've learned, King Solomon had everything this world has to offer, and yet he was an unhappy camper to the nth degree. He eventually discovered that he was never going to find happiness in any of this world's things. Why? Because happiness isn't found under the sun, it's only found in the Son of the living God. You and I can experience some passing pleasures in the things listed above, but they are not the source of satisfaction. And that is really the overarching theme of Pastor Jeff's series, Life's Big Questions. 6 messages that address 6 of the most profound questions that you could possibly ask. It's our thank you gift for your support this month to From His Heart. It's available on CDs, DVDs, as an MP3 download, or a USB flash drive when you go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. And with that gift, we'll also send you the brand new booklet from Pastor Jeff designed to help you understand the foundational principles of life in Christ, called The ABCs of the Christian Life. What are the ABCs of life that pleases God and helps us walk victorious in the light of the Lord? Well, the Bible gives us the answer in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Furthermore, the Bible tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So be wise and get these resources in your hand and your heart today. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and request Life's Big Questions and the ABCs of the Christian Life. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today on From His Heart. We're so glad that you joined us. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for part 2 of this 4th message in Pastor Jeff's series about life's big questions. We'll see you on Wednesday, when we'll again continue to learn that true happiness is possible through Christ. Next time, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to FromHisHeart.org.